Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth, and a shout out to all the new listeners we're getting each and every week during this pandemic. But regardless of who you are, we all do have one thing in common. And you know what that is? We really want to know the truth about what's going on right now in this scamdemic. Yeah, that's right, folks. I called it a scamdemic. Numbers don't add up. Statistics are lying. I see lies everywhere. And we need to know. So welcome to the 454th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And it's about the 6th or 7th. In our very special series on the coronavirus. And the title of this one, folks, The Coronavirus, Lies and Love. And at the end of the message, we're going to focus on 2 Thessalonians chapter... No, that was last week. This week, we're going to focus on Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So, are you curious about what's really going on? What's this coronavirus all about? Do the lies all around us bother you? Are you having trouble being loving in this uncertain time? Well, if so, please, please, please stay tuned to find out some truth concerning this elusive peace that we all seek and the joy that no one would throw away if they were given it. And let's dive into the scamdemic, this plandemic, the coronavirus heist, as I like to call it. But first...
The coronavirus, COVID-19, what call it? Plandemic, the coronavirus heist, it's a scamdemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except that for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know all their lies and mind control. The coronavirus, COVID-19, what call it? Plandemic, the coronavirus heist, it's a scamdemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except that for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know all their lies and mind control.
The coronavirus,
the coronavirus, COVID-19, what call it? Pandemic, the coronavirus heist, it's a scamdemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together.
Hey, are we all in this together? You really think we are? Well, let's get started with our COVID-19 news update. So, folks, are you really free? Well, I suppose you are, as long as you allow the government to control your resources, as long as you allow the government to control your education, your currency, the internet, your military, your justice, and even your land. So, we're free as long as we do all that and soon get our COVID-19 vaccine. You know, I just stumbled upon this article this week and it appalled me. It literally appalled me. A top CDC official says, we'll just get rid of all the whites in the United States who refuse the vaccine. Now, they've got these different terms they're using now, vaccine resistant, vaccine denier. You know, there's actually a third category now for vaccines. First of all, there's what's known as voluntary, informed consent. So you listen to the facts, and then you decide voluntarily to take the treatment, whether it's a vaccine or some sort of other medical treatment. You may say, I don't want to do it. There's too many risks. The other is what they call mandatory, and that's if you want to perhaps go into a certain country and they're prone to malaria, so you get your shots, you know, typhus, whatever. You don't have to, but if you want to enter this country, you do it. If you want to join this group, you do it. So that's mandatory. And there's a new term now called compulsory. But is compulsory vaccines or a compulsory vaccination even possible in the land of the free and the home of the brave? So anyways, this article out of Infowars.com, this physician, Dr. Baker, was appointed the chair of the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization. This was under Obama's Health and Human Services Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, back in 2009. And here's a quote, and I want to read it to you, and then I'm going to play it for you out of her own mouth. So she's being asked about these vaccine deniers and these vaccine-resistant type people that are hesitant. And she said, most people you can take in the vaccine, but as for the others, so I have the solution. Every study published in the last 5 years, when you look at vaccine refusers, Baker told the panel, I'm not talking about hesitance. Most of them we can talk into coming to terms, but refusers, and here's what she says. Listen to this, folks. We'll just get rid of all the whites in the United States. Guess who wants to get vaccinated the most? The immigrants.
The battle is being fought one family, one physician, one health center. That's why we're doing as well as we are. We're talking about the minority and strategies against the minority. So I have the solution. Every study published in the last 5 years, when you look at vaccine refusers, I'm not talking about, hesitance, most of them we can talk into coming to terms, but refusers. We'll just get rid of all the whites in the United States, because Houston is the most diverse city in the entire United States. There's 7 Asian languages spoken in that city. I've been a minority for more than 20 years in the city of Houston. The majority is, we call, Hispanic. That is not a race or an ethnicity. That is a political designation. But a lot of them are from Central, South America, Mexico. Guess who wants to get vaccinated the most? Immigrants.
That's what made Donald Trump's comment about bringing disease here. They're at risk when they come here.
Immigrants.
Have better vaccination rates in Mexico.
It is the well-educated, in terms of pieces of paper that they put on their wall, people that have been here a long time, and it's very unfortunate. But I think we need not lose the big picture.
What is the big picture, folks? Global domination, control, population reduction. Now, a lot of people lie with statistics, and we're going to see that a little later. And a lot of the statistics out there on vaccinations are manipulations of the data. I'm going to get into that a little bit later with a specific book. But this is happening, folks. Correlations that aren't there. Now, how about this article out of this website, Humans Are Free? And, folks, that's a very good website. I stumbled on it, and I'm starting to dig into this, and I'm very impressed with the information there, and it ties into other resources very well. Well, anyways, listen to this one. Bill Gates admits that 700,000 people will be harmed or killed by the coronavirus vaccine. He was speaking during a recent segment on CNBC. And you know, he's been in his man cave, his mansion, his estate. You know, a lot of these people stay home. Well, they have indoor swimming pools, underground bowling alleys, an entire estate where they can essentially live. They're not like the common man. But anyways, he's sitting at his table, gesticulating like he does, grinning at the oddest times. and he's talking on this recent CNBC segment, and he admits that in order to make vaccines work, quote unquote, for the most vulnerable group, in this case the elderly, they have to be supercharged. And I'm going to read his quote, then I'm going to play it for you out of his own mouth. We clearly need a vaccine that works in the upper age range because they're most at risk of that. Well, that includes you, Billy Savelle, Bill Gates. So perhaps if you take it and we let it run its course for 60 days, like the CDC shows us these things take for their full impact with regard to mortality or morbidity, perhaps if we see that you're okay and your children are okay and all your friends and family, and how about all the people in Congress that are going to give you a clean bill, which means you're indemnified. You can't do anything and get held accountable for it concerning these vaccines. He stated about this whole coronavirus onset. Listen to this. And doing that so that you amp it up so that it works in older people, and yet you don't have side effects. If we have 1 in 10,000 side effects, that's way more. 700,000 people who will suffer from it. So listen to Gates. It's about 47 seconds long. Just listen to this.
The efficacy of vaccines in older people is always a huge challenge. You know, it turns out the flu vaccine isn't that effective in elderly people. We clearly need a vaccine that works in the upper age range because they're most at risk of that. And doing that so that you amp it up so it works in older people and yet you don't have side effects. You know, if we have, you know, 1 in 10,000 side effects, that's, you know, way more, 700,000, you know, people who will suffer from that. And that actual decision of, okay, let's go and give this vaccine to the entire world, governments will have to be involved because there will be some risk and indemnification needed.
Did you hear that? There will be a need to mitigate risk. Yeah, everybody thinks he's some kind of saint. And honestly, folks, he's not. And we'll learn that a little bit later. Okay? And, you know, I've been on Twitter. I joined Twitter a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. And I just have to tell the truth as I've learned it and have seen it. And I refer to Gates out there as a Luciferian. And I got some pushback from some guy named Paul in Scotland. And he is a Luciferian. You know, they speak through symbols. They speak louder through the things that are left unsaid than the things they actually say. And then humansarefree.com, another good website to check out. Melinda Gates appears on the Today Show pushing really hard for a global vaccine while wearing an upside-down cross. So she was speaking with Savannah Guthrie, okay? And she's addressing the pandemic. Let me call it the plandemic because that's what it is, folks. And, you know, people think it's so wonderful they're giving all this money away. Well, you know what foundations were established for? The Carnegie Foundation, the Ford Foundation. So many of these you see when you watch PBS. These foundations are ways to dodge taxes. There's books written on this stuff. There were Senate select committees established back in the 60s and 70s to unlock these foundations and look behind the veil. So she's criticizing President Trump for his poor response on this crisis. And it says, we haven't had leadership on the national level. It's all chaos. While she's wearing her upside-down cross, Ordo Ab Cao. Now, do you remember from last week's show when I was talking about PA death statistics? And I said Pennsylvania has seen more than 60,000 confirmed cases of the virus. And Pennsylvania is supposedly over 4,000 people dead from this virus right now. And I was telling you, you know, it's sad, and I don't want to belittle this point, but people die every day, folks. And I'm sure they're dying every day where you live. That's not the point. The point is, how are these deaths being added? How are they being compiled with regard to the statistics? And like I told you when I opened this show, and it's all about lies and love. Statistics can lie. Statistics can hide the truth. So during that period where, quote-unquote, 4,000 people supposedly died from COVID-19. You know that another nearly 40,000 Pennsylvanians died? And that's what I'm saying. Statistics can be deceptive. But it gets deeper than that. Sometimes people manipulate the statistics. And this county coroner in Armstrong County, where Terry and I live and where our plant's at, calls Governor Wolf and his TV health director, and I don't mean television, folks. We have a transvestite, or whatever Shim is, Levin, and I really shudder to even call this individual a doctor, you know, because they have a what's referred to in the medical journals as gender dysphoria. That makes you double-minded, mentally unstable, yet you're sitting there mandating all these different things for, 12 million Pennsylvanians? And then we notice that you're cooking the books. Let me read you what the county coroner out of Armstrong County's coroner's office wrote. Over the past two decades, serving both as deputy coroner and coroner, I, as well as the staff in my office, have always made every attempt to be as straightforward and honest with the residents of this county and the family members of every person we serve. During the ongoing COVID-19 crisis tension, some untruths and misleading statistics released by the Department of Health. Last week, I placed many phone calls to the Department of Health. This is, quote-unquote, Dr. Levin's department, the transvestite, who gets up there every day in the news conferences and embarrasses me. I'm offended by it. And then she's offended when somebody refers to Shim as him and says, don't misgender me. Guy, you're confused. Your DNA is still the same, X, Y. But anyways, back to this. So he points out, the commissioner, the coroner of Armstrong County points out that the Department of Health and their website is updated daily and has been reporting 6 deaths in Armstrong County due to COVID-19. And this is incorrect. Where and how this number is unknown to me. The correct number for Armstrong County is 2. Over the weekend, my office subpoenaed the Department of Health to get information related to all the deaths they attributed to Armstrong County. As of noon, in their website update, the number of Armstrong County deaths had been corrected and now reads 2. Boy, they didn't want those documents being released because you'd see manipulation. As to their motives behind inflating the numbers, I haven't a clue. However, I am positive that other counties are in the same position. As a public servant and elected official, I have transparency and truth in numbers. The residents of Armstrong County should always be made aware of the truth. And to what you did, I say, God bless you, sir, because that's what we all need to be doing. That's why I'm doing these special editions of SDG. That's why I'm speaking out on Twitter. This is crazy. Like I said, statistics lie or can be used to lie. And then I mentioned Bill Gates, and, you know, in his numerous interviews from his estate, he was caught with a book on his desk titled How to Lie with Statistics by Daryl Huff. And I think I put that image up on the banner. So check it out. He's sitting there reading a book called What If? And then there's a stack of books there. And if you zoom in on the one, it's the book titled How to Lie with Statistics by Daryl Huff. And it's a breezy illustrated volume outlining errors made when it comes to the interpretation of statistics and how these errors can lead to incorrect conclusions. So I'm going to read you a little bit out of the Wikipedia here, okay, about what this is all about. And I know it's not the best source, but I was rushed this morning, and I think we can trust this. Themes in the book include correlation does not imply causation. That's what I'm talking about. They make these correlations like people are vaccine resistors, okay, because they don't understand how good vaccines are. No, I would say that the biggest contributor to public health isn't vaccines, but it's general hygiene and sanitation. Picking up the garbage, a good sewage system, fresh, clean, running water. You'd have those three things, and guess what? Diseases plummet with or without vaccines. And that's the truth, folks. So anyways, that's one thing that he mentioned. And then another thing is using random sampling. You can manipulate where you take those samples from, or you can put COVID patients in nursing homes and spike the curve. Oh, that's right. A lot of Democratic governors across this country are doing that right now. Actually, they're talking about criminal charges against Cuomo and his administration for doing that in New York. And it's happening here in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Washington State, California. Oh, and the one thing I noticed about all those, they all have a Democratic governor. This has been politicized, folks, and it's really sad. And another thing that they do with these statistics, and I saw it in the White House press conferences, and I'm seeing it with some of the state press conferences, they truncate plots. In other words, they cut the bottom off, and then they blow up the top so that it looks like there's a very, very huge difference between two of the topics on the plot. When if you would put it to scale, you'd see that it's not even outside of the noise or the coefficient of variation. And these are all different ways that statistics are manipulated. So why would Bill Gates have that book sitting on his stack of books on his desk as he's giving an interview? It's strange. Now, everybody's making him a saint, and I'd like you to listen to this interview. It goes back a few years. It's an old 60 Minutes interview with Leslie Stahl when Paul Allen, the co-founder of Microsoft, and we all forget about Paul Allen, but he was really the brains behind the system. Somehow Gates ended up with 60% of the shares and the rest is history. But Paul Allen was the brains behind Microsoft and a lot of the code. So listen to this, and then we'll get into a little bit more.
It's interesting how many big high-tech companies were started by two friends, like Hewlett and Packard, or Google's Larry and Sergey. Microsoft was too. Bill Gates co-founded his company, one of the most important and successful in American history, with his high school buddy, Paul Allen. Today, Allen is known more for his mega yachts and palling around with Brad and Angelina than for his revolutionary ideas in the company's early years. But now, Paul Allen has written a memoir called Idea Man, out this week, in which he not only gives an account of those ideas, he draws a dark portrait of his fellow co-founder and lifelong friend. As Allen writes and tells us in one of the only in-depth interviews he's ever given, he was too angry and proud to tell Gates point blank, quote, "Some days working with you is like being in hell."
The story will continue in a moment.
You describe Bill Gates in very harsh terms. You describe him as being quite abusive. I mean, it's not a pretty picture.
I felt like when I wrote it, I should just tell it like it happened in an unvarnished way, warts and all.
You know, here he is doing such great work. He's almost a saint now. And it seems like an odd time to write an unflattering portrait of him.
The timing had nothing to do with the many wonderful things that Bill has done. But the timing was because I wanted to see if I could do it and hopefully be alive to see it published.
So you see two sides there. You see the Bill Gates of hell, and then you see Leslie Stahl almost sainting him like the Pope does, you know? So what's really going on about Bill Gates? Well, a little bit about Bill Gates after this next point. And then next week, I'd like to get into more about Bill Gates. And I think he's going to become the focus of what's going on. Him and his unholy alliance with the Big Pharma, the CDC, and other non-governmental organizations, and of course his tax-exempt, tax-dodging foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. But anyways, there's other things going on. What are we missing? Well, you've probably heard the term Obamagate. Well, this isn't conspiracy theory. And there's a blogger out there, joemiller.us. Obamagate isn't a conspiracy theory. It's the biggest political scandal of our time, the unmasking of Joe Biden. So we see all of this hype and all this talk out there about COVID-19. Meanwhile, there's some serious investigations going on. There's some serious uncoverings of very, very corrupt criminal activity. Remember General Flynn? He was President Trump's national security advisor for a very brief time back in 2017, right after the inauguration. Well, the Flynn case is just a simple piece of the puzzle of a much larger picture. And it's how the Obama administration, with full knowledge from both the president, President Obama, and Vice President Creepy Joe, Sleepy Joe Biden, targeted the incoming Trump administration and certain officials in an effort. They wanted to stymie. Remember all the stuff they were going to try to go after the electors, and then they were going to try to nullify the vote. First, that nullification of the vote, and then turning of the electors in the Electoral College. And then they were going to try to destroy his administration, install him. And, of course, there was the Russiagate and the hoax, and it was a hoax. This is all criminal, folks. And it was a coup. So straight, plain, and simple, this is literally the biggest political scandal of our time. And the next candidate for the Democratic Party and the election of the next president is Joe Biden, who's right in the middle of it all. And yet there's hardly a word on this in the MS mainstream media. It's sick, folks. I'm telling you, the coronavirus is a brilliant scam. It makes all of this other material go away. Don't even get me started about the insolvency of the banking system. And it's masking political corruption on very high levels. It's being used to strip away our God-given, constitutionally defined and protected rights as they're enumerated in the Bill of Rights. Those rights didn't come from the government, folks. They came from God. Yet none of this matters because today no one seems to care what the former Democratic administration did using secret court documents and secret court warrants to investigate their political opposition. It doesn't seem to matter to both Democrats and Republicans alike in the Congress. And don't even think about the media being the watchdog. They're lapdogs, folks. You know, for the past 3 years, this investigation into the Russian collusion continued despite any credible information. In fact, the information was the exact opposite, right out of Saul Alinsky's Rule for Radicals. Whatever the truth is, say the opposite. Keep pushing your agenda and it'll become the truth. So they supported these collusion lies as collusion facts, and it seems like no one in the establishment even cares. Think about this. Both the president and the vice president, both Obama and Biden, took a personal interest in this Obamagate, the spying on Flynn and other top officials in Trump's administration. And it doesn't seem to matter to anyone. You know, there once was a time in this world where this would have been the story of the century. But I'm telling you, folks, those times are long gone. So Biden says it's just a diversion. He does. Well, who's buying that? I'm telling you, folks, it's up to we the people to decide who's been ultimately unmasked by this entire Flynn investigation. And everybody says, well, Obama blast the DOG. DOJ over the decision to drop the Flynn case. You probably heard that, but maybe you didn't hear the actual stuttering of Obama over this whole thing. This is a short 32-minute clip when he's asked about this. And it's, you know, Obama blasts the DOJ. Listen to this and tell me if you think this former president who's being outed right now is in any position of authority with this response.
Former President Obama is blasting Barr's decision to drop the case. He misstated the charges against Flynn as perjury, but he says there's no precedent for it. Listen.
That's the kind of stuff where you begin to get worried that basic, not just institutional norms, but our basic understanding of rule of law is at risk.
I'm sorry, folks. I shouldn't be doing it. Let the man speak. Oh, he's done. Well, where was the blast?
Stuttered and stammered in that clip, folks. He's nervous. He's nervous about what he did violate. He's the one who violated the rule of the law. What did Alinsky say? Speak the exact opposite to the truth if it advances your agenda. And that's what Obama was trying to do there. You know, if he wants to talk about undermining the rule of law, let's go back to his forged birth certificate. How about Fast and Furious? You know, the guns at the border? How about Benghazi and what happened in Libya? And how about the $500 billion put on pallets, flown over to Iran and given to that despotic regime? And then, did you remember the Epstein story and his Loyola Express, you know, the sex jet he owned, that he'd fly all these top officials and movers and shakers down to his sex slave island in the Caribbean? Or what about Pizzagate? You know, these things didn't disappear. They're still there. They've just been whitewashed over. I found this Pedigate post. It was posted 70 days ago, and it was on a Reddit thread. It's a Pedogate Reddit thread. And I don't know. This just stumbled upon my iPad. I don't know how I even found it. And it's just some talking points. But this poster says that at 4:30 a.m., this was 70 days ago, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was served a criminal indictment by the U.S. for corporate and financial crimes. And then media owners were instructed to brainwash everyone that Trudeau and his wife had the coronavirus. Now, is this true? I don't know if it is or isn't. But they said they're doing this so they won't be leaving their house for a while. And then that whole thing with Tom Hanks, you know, remember? People were saying in this post that he was arrested 48 hours ago. This is 70 days ago for pedophilia charges. And he's being kept in a hotel room in Australia and refusing to fly back to the U.S. So I've been trying to dig into just had brain fog there for a minute, folks. I've been trying to dig into Tom Hanks a bit, okay? And it's strange, but what I found, I'm going to share with you a little bit later, but it's very disturbing. And then how about what's going on in Italy? The country's completely shut down. This is, remember, 70 days ago. 80 Vatican financial officials been served criminal indictments. They talk about different things going on in the United Emirates and the royal family and all the affiliates. Then they talk about, this is all in this Reddit post, convicted Hollywood rapist Harvey Weinstein did some deal exchanges for his testimony against hundreds of top Hollywood celebrities. And yeah, I'm reading this at first, and I'm not thinking much of it, but that name Tom Hanks came up again. Oprah Winfrey, Ellen DeGeneres, Quentin Tarantino, Charlie Sheen, a bunch of them. Kevin Spacey, John Travolta, Steven Spielberg, Podesta. So I'm reading all this, and I'm saying to myself, wow, this is really, if this is true, this is horrible. Then he goes on to mention that Epstein would incriminate these people. And CEOs of major corporations are in a similar situation. And then, remember, this is 70 days ago. And then it says a lab-created coronavirus will cover up this, all this news. And there's going to be a mass mandatory vaccination agenda unveiled. Remember, this is all 70 days ago. And there's going to be over 100,000 arrests. This almost sounds like QAnon, you know? And then he says President Trump's going to win the 2020 elections and top religious leaders are going to be arrested or forced to resign. And they talk about this Rommel death, which is a choice between being suicided and making it appear like it's an accidental death or a suicide, or to actually face criminal trial and being outed. So this goes on some more, and it talks about all sorts of different things that actually ended up happening. That's what's the point of all this. They're talking about a complete shutdown before any of this happened. It's going to include award ceremonies, TV shows, national sports groups, all the stuff that happened, food shortages, gas prices are going to go down, food costs are going to go up, all this stuff. And this all happened. So I started to pay a little attention to it. And then I put this up, and it didn't load in time. I was late. I found this MSNBC clip actually linking Gates to Epstein. And I'll play it next week. It's very important. So my point here is it's lie after lie after lie after lie. And there was this blogger named Michael Krager who posted a little op-ed piece. It's time to step into the arena. Was on libertyblitzkrieg.com. And I just want to read what he said, because it really makes a lot of sense, folks. It truly does. I think one reason mass media puts so much emphasis on voting at the national level is the owners of these propaganda channels know voting will change absolutely nothing. And folks, I'm beginning to think that now. Did you see the last image that came out on the Trump store for his patriotic hat? It's an eagle with pentagram stars on it, an eagle with a background of pentagram stars, and the eagle has no head. There's power in symbology. Remember what I told you folks about Melinda Gates wearing an upside down cross television interview? Well, listen to what Michael Krager goes on to say. The oligarchy and the national security state are fully in charge, and they're not going to allow the pesky rabble to get in the way of such a lucrative racket by voting. Getting those who are politically inclined to spend all their time and energy on a rigged and completely corrupt phantom democracy in D.C. is a great way to keep them busy with nonsense. It's also a perfect way to demoralize that portion of the population which understands it's just theater. You know, I call it kabuki theater. Study what the kabuki theater in Japan was all about. It's about diversion, bread and circus. That's what it's all about, folks. If you can be convinced that voting at the national level is the only way to change things, you're much more likely to recede into apathy and become intentionally disengaged. That's what they want you and me to do, folks. They want us to become disengaged. And this happens to a lot of people, but it's a big, big mistake. You don't want to allow that to happen. Think about some of these words. Lockdown. You know how it's defined? Lockdown, the confining of prisoners to their cells. Or following of a riot or other disturbance. The prison lockdown continues more than 3 weeks after the death of a guard. Look it up. It's there. Now they're starting to add new definitions, but some of the different ones like dictionary.com and the free dictionary, they didn't get the memo yet from the Luciferians to add the new meaning to lockdown like Merriam-Webster did. How about asymptomatic? You know what the definition of asymptomatic used to be? Neither causing nor exhibiting symptoms of the disease. Let me repeat that. Neither causing nor exhibiting symptoms of the disease. So if you're asymptomatic, you can't cause it. Yet they're redefining that word too. So it's all about lies, folks, and it's everywhere we look. Lie after lie after lie. When have you had enough? Is it still your peace? Do you want peace? Well, I'd like to change gears here now, folks. Let's change gears. And let's look at what's really important. And it's not all this crazy stuff. It really isn't. So let's talk about love. And let's face it, who doesn't want more love? In fact, a lot of people are saying, yeah, in these times of lockdown and social distancing, we're starting to see what's really important, and it's love. Now, if you know, those of you who know me, I call it a plandemic, and it is. And I think everybody would agree with me, whatever you think this is, that we all agree that love's on top of the list. But guess what? No one can love without first dying to self. And that's right. You got to die to self before you can truly love. Now, hold on. Don't tune me out here, please, because I'm going to share some rhema truth with you. And it involves, or it's focused around the fruits of the spirit. And I want to thank Terry's and my pastor, Pastor Todd, who shared elements of this message with me last week online. You know, we have to do online streaming for our services. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit was on him when he shared this message. And I believe it was an answer to my prayer, because I was asking the Lord last Sunday, what should I do for this week's message? Now, next week, I want to focus on Romans chapter 13 and what it really means in reference to what I just wrapped it up there with Michael Krager and what we should be doing. But this week, I want to share what Pastor Todd inspired in me concerning the fruits of the Spirit. Now, if you're a Christian, I'm sure you've heard Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 many times before. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So regardless of what these governors, these tyrannical governors do and mayors do all across the country, they can't tell you not to be loving. They can't tell you not to be joyful or peaceful or long-suffering or gentle or good or faithful or meek or temperate. Can't write a law and tell you you're not allowed to be loving. And here's what Pastor Todd showed me, and I never thought of this, and I want to do a deeper study into this. But all of these other things, joy, peace, long-suffering, the whole list, the whole litany of the fruits of the Spirit, they all stem from love. In fact, the first three, love, joy, peace, they're the big three. Now, love, we know the classic story about love that's read at a lot of weddings out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And some of the elements, and it's referred to in the King James as charity, that's agape love. And I've done messages on the four loves. And you can look those up in the archive if you're interested to study that in more detail. Just message me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll get you that link. But charity or agape love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. And here's the point. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. And then out of that comes joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now stay with me here, folks, because this is important. Yet today, what most people do is they confuse enjoyment with joy, and there's a huge difference. Enjoyment stems from your circumstances. Joy stems from your state of being, and it's a huge difference. And then out of that joy comes peace. Now, most Christians understand that when Jesus did that incredible work on the cross that no other man, only the man God Jesus Christ could do, because he was the perfect lamb without a blemish, he made peace with God for all of us who believe and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. But there's also something deeper than that. We can also receive the peace of God. So ask yourself a question. Which list would make for a better life in your life? This is what Pastor Todd asked us last week. Would this list that I just read, the fruits of the Spirit, or would this list I'm going to read now, the works of the flesh, which were in verses 19 through 21? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So I think you ask yourself, which do you want, fruits of the Spirit or the works of the flesh? And I think the answer to that tells a lot about which path you're on. Now, the media is stirring us up with fear porn, with all of this scamdemic news. And what happens is it creates wrath and strife and, you know, hatred and all these different things, which are works of the flesh. Because, you know, Paul finishes that, which and such the like. So he's saying, and all kinds of other things. So I agree. Everyone wants more love. And out of that love stems joy and peace, and then all those other fruits of the Spirit. But none of them come out of the flesh. And there's two reasons that the flesh will never yield the fruits of the Spirit. One, it's moving in the opposite direction. So you're never going to, if you're sitting in Kansas City and you start heading west, you ain't going to get to New York City in your car because you're going in the wrong direction. Now, sure, if you drive long enough and you believe in globalism, you'll get there if you have a boat. But anyways, that's not my point. The point is that the flesh and the spirit are in opposite directions. And the second reason is the origin of the flesh and the spirit. So one comes from the natural man, the other comes from the spiritual man. And the spiritual man is only born after he is born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. So how do we get the fruits? Well, certainly not by trying harder. Now, people do that, but praise the Lord, the next verse tells us what we've got to do, and it's what I opened this message with. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So right there, verse 24 is talking about our flesh. And this is a tough pill to swallow, folks. It's a hard truth. Because a lot of Christians, even Christians, will say, isn't Jesus the one who was crucified? What are you talking about, me getting crucified? Well, yeah, he was. For your sin debt and mine and anyone who calls upon him as Lord and believes the gospel. But you know what's key here? For this to happen, Jesus, the Son of God and God the Son, 100% man, 100% God, first he had to surrender his will to the Father and the cross. Remember, Jesus prayed, not my will be done, but thy will be done. And as we learned last week in the study of the mystery of iniquity, Lucifer didn't say, not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. No, Lucifer said, not your will, Lord, but mine. He said it not one time, not two times, but five times. I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15 again. Now, we covered this in great detail last week, so if you didn't get last week's message, please, please, please go back and listen to it. These things all come together, folks, and the Holy Spirit's going to lead you to all the truth on these things. So let me read this, Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, and count them. One, I will ascend into heaven. Two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Three, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And five, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. That's what God said after Lucifer did his five I wills. And remember, that's where the pentagram came from in satanic worship. So, bottom line, Jesus, by his surrender, by his submission, made a way for us. Key to the whole thing. You know, the teaching of the vine and the branches. What's a branch have to do to bear fruit? It has to do nothing but hold on. The vine provides everything that branch needs to bear fruit. That's the same way with us. That's the same way when Jesus did the work on the cross. All he had to do was surrender his will, subordinate his will to the will of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And this incredible work was done on the cross. So if you want to see fruit of the Spirit, you have to die to self. And folks, I'll be honest with you. I take that step every day. I'm not saying I achieve it. I don't. And you got to realize, as Pastor Todd shared the week before, that the flesh, the works of the flesh, our self, it tangles us in all sorts of things. It hooks us into sin. And at first, that stuff looks good. And who's going to deny that some of the initial effects of sin are very good? But then it's like a really bad hangover the next day. It's bad. So you can choose to sin, but you can't choose the consequence of sin. And that's the point. Listen to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. This is Paul speaking, and this applies to each and every one of us who choose to believe. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Pistos Christos, the faith of Jesus Christ. Folks, when we're born again, we become new creatures. All things are made new, including our faith. And I've done messages on the difference between having the faith of Jesus Christ and having faith in Jesus Christ. There's a huge difference. And the only Bible that gets this distinction made is the King James, not even the New King James. One little word, of, versus another little word, in, makes a world of difference in understanding. So when you understand that you receive the literal faith of Jesus Christ, your carnal faith is substituted. We're all given a measure of faith, but we receive the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's the strength that sustains us. That's the truth that only Jesus can bring us. Everyone will say, I want more love, I want more joy, I want more peace. But I'm telling you, that's impossible without Jesus. So if we live by the Spirit, we've got to walk by the Spirit. And that leads us to this foundational truth that Pastor Todd shared last week, and that's dying to self. Now, all that I've said, okay, focuses around this one truth. We've got to die daily. And I know that might sound weird, but think about it like this. If the fruit comes before the flower, if the flower comes before the fruit, so to speak, okay? So, like, look at an apple tree, and you got to have blossoms on that apple tree. Those blossoms are flowers, and they got to come if you're going to have an apple on that tree come fall. But if they don't have that flower, you're not going to have a fruit. So, in this verse, out of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. What do you think the flower is? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What would that be? Well, it's the death to self that Paul spoke about in the other verse there. Death to self. So if there's no flowers, no death to self, there's no fruit, no fruit of the Spirit. And if there's no fruit of the Spirit, there's no love. And then there's no joy. And then there's no peace. So is that missing in your life today? Well, the Holy Spirit gives us all of that. And thank you, Pastor Todd, for sharing this. Wisdom. You know, that's understanding, okay? And that all begins with fear of the Lord. And that's just love on your knees. That's not like shaking in your boots. You know, if you learn to fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. And then he becomes our counselor. So when you get a dose of truth, sometimes you're kind of shaken up and you need some counseling. Well, he's there as our counselor, as our helper, always there as our intercessor. You know, Jesus is up there in heaven praying for us all right now, ever interceding on our behalf, your behalf, my behalf. He's our advocate. But it gets better. Remember, we talk about joy. For the joy of the Lord, for my strength is the joy of the Lord, you know. I'm screwing up that scripture, but the point is that our strength comes from the fruit of the Spirit known as joy. But without the flower of death to self, without that surrender, putting your hands up in the air and just saying, forsaking all, I trust him. And this isn't literally going out and having your arms and legs nailed to a cross, although some Christians have been martyred that way. St. Peter, as history says and tradition tells us, was actually crucified upside down, not because he was a Satanist, but because he said, I'm not worthy to die the death of my Lord. So crucify me upside down. And then the Satanists kind of hijacked that. So bottom line, if there's no flowers, there's no fruit. If there's no self-sacrifice, if there's no surrender to the Lord, if there's no crucifying of self, then there's no love, joy, and peace. So is there something missing in your life today? Is there something making the tree sick? Is there something killing the blossoms? Well, you know, get this, a sick tree bears no flowers, let alone fruit. Or maybe you are a solid Christian, but there's still no flowers on your tree this year. And you're not going to have any fruit this fall. Well, get this. The Holy Spirit needs to lead each and every one of our lives in this denial, in this crucifixion of self. Lord, I pray that your wisdom and understanding brings to light these truths into each and every one of our lives, the truth that we need to let go of self, and be led in the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we know that only the Holy Spirit can lead us that way. So folks, after the Lord gives you this understanding, I want to share another thing with you. And again, thank you, Pastor Todd. The Holy Spirit counsels us and strengthens us. All those things that I just shared with you. And then listen to how Peter put it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. And I love this. I really do. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So after he fills you and leads you to these truths, through the knowledge of him, that's Jesus, that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now remember, lust isn't just sexual sin, it's all that stuff, the works of the flesh, you know, that quench the spirit and deny you love, joy, peace. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. There it is again, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the fruit of the Spirit comes into our lives when we crucify the flesh. That's our flower on the tree that's going to bear the fruit. And then these things build on that fruit, virtue, and then knowledge, and then temperance, and then patience, and then godliness, and then brotherly kindness. And then out of that brotherly kindness flows this agape love that comes from God. That's God love, you know? So this week I encourage you, in the midst of all of this pandemic, all this cover-up, all these lies, walk in the spirit, not in the flesh, saying, forsaking all, I trust him. At the cross, love ran red, folks. And that's the blood of Jesus. And when we receive that, when we surrender, when we identify ourselves with his death on the cross, we're going to bear fruit. And as we love through surrender, he's going to fill us with joy, which becomes our strength. And then this peace of God, which just overwhelms us. And then all this other stuff is put into perspective. So let's just listen to Chris Tomlin, At the Cross, Love Ran Red. I love you all. Provided the Lord's willing, I'll be back next week. Remember, he loves you.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing. At the cross.